the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a very great joy to be here with you again. I was last here, 3 years ago, in January, just before the pandemic took hold, and our lives were changed so dramatically over the course of those 3 years. But it is wonderful to be here again. And thank you for the invitation to preach and to preside for you. It's a great honor. It's a great honor because this is a great Sunday. This Sunday marks the end of Eastertide, the 40 days since Easter Day, in which we've absorbed the beauty of the message of the resurrection in word, in sacrament, in image, and song. Those 40 days balancing the 40 days of Lent, which went before them. And the trajectory of that spiritual journey culminates in the feast of the Ascension, which we celebrated on Thursday, and which we celebrate again in our readings today. And that was the moment when the risen Christ ceased to be experienced as a tangible presence by his followers. He is no longer physically with you. But then they were called to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we will be celebrating that next Sunday with the Feast of Pentecost. And then the following Sunday, we have Trinity Sunday, followed quickly by the Feast of Corpus Christi. It can be a very dazzling season for the preacher dealing with theological doctrines that dazzle and confuse. That's why I have been known back at my parish in England for always having a visiting preacher on Trinity Sunday. And this year, people got wise to it, and I thought, well, this year, I must preach on Trinity Sunday, so I am going to do that. But today, Ascension Sunday, what are we to make of this feast? What are we to make of the fact the risen Christ appears and then disappears? Of all that happened after Good Friday, this event is perhaps the hardest for us to absorb and make sense of. The conventional picture of Christ going up into the sky comes from a time when there was a layered cosmology. Heaven above us, up there, earth where we are, and hell beneath us. That's how the world was perceived. As artists have struggled to portray anything different to that image. I recently come back from a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham, which is an ancient shrine in the east of England. And the chapel there, it's called the Chapel of the Ascension, and out of the ceiling, you can see 2 feet sticking out of the ceiling as Christ shows up. Everyone always goes there because it makes us all smile. It's very difficult to get this imagery right. There's something very physical in how this piece is described, as we heard read in the passage from Acts. He was lifted up and the cloud took him out of their sight. And that often leaves people thinking, well, if I don't get it, if I don't understand it, is my faith somehow weak? Well, there are many people in the world today who take the words of the Bible absolutely literally. And so they're not troubled by any clash with contemporary scientific understanding. But there are many others in our world today who write things off simply because they can't make a connection between the faith as it is portrayed historically and the reality of life today. The problem comes, I believe, when we concentrate too much on the process or the technical definition rather than on the deeper reality. The Christian, we are called not to attend to a technical definition of the faith, but rather we are called to engage with the Jesus Christ, to discover the truth of God's transforming love in Christ. It is a truth that sets us free. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, let the Christian not attempt to create a new religion of the letter by endeavoring to live a life of obedience to the commandment of Jesus Christ. Don't create a religion of the letter. But so one easy to have a mental image of Jesus shooting up into heaven like a rocket, often called Cape Canaveral theology. But actually misses the whole point of what the Bible was trying to communicate. The Germans have a better word for it than ascension day. They call it Himmelfahrt. Himmelfahrt means journey to heaven. And that's actually a far better description than ascension, which is somehow way too difficult. And so, if we are to believe as Christians that we need to make sense of what the gospel tells us in our own time, just as the first disciples did, then what do these words mean? As I say, we can overanalyze, and in so doing, completely miss the point. Faith is living inside the word that many look at from the outside. One of the great glories of the Christian faith, as we encounter it in Anglo-Catholicism, such as we have here in this, your parish and in mine in London, is that the truths of the gospel are communicated to us not just in words, not just in words, but in music, in colour, in ritual, in art, in the drama of our liturgy, every possible way to convey deep truth. Now you may have noticed, I don't know if it reached you over here, but we've had a coronation in England in recent years, the first of 70 years. So it was a dramatic event for us. And that, I think, was a very fine example of a very ancient service, very ancient, rich in symbolism, with ritual and profound language and dramatic music and movement. All those things communicate through far deeper than words. And the whole experience of that service was one that made contemporary relevance. If you analyze it, if you took it apart, you would understand nothing. And that's how we are to approach the ascension of our Lord today. Over the last 7 weeks in this Eastertide, we have been following the resurrection appearances of Christ. Those remarkable encounters, beginning with the women at the tomb, where the risen Christ appears to his disciples. And the palpable sense of despondency and fear that characterized the first disciples after the crucifixion gives way to joy as they realize that Christ is alive. The locked doors are open, and this frightened little group is transformed into the greatest missionary force the world has ever seen. The appearance to Thomas and the 12 in the upper room, the moment of revelation at that supper on the road to Emmaus, making breakfast by the lakeshore at the Sea of Tiberias, the risen Christ appears. And then, just as suddenly as he appears, he's gone. He appears, then disappears. And why? Well, these appearances are preparing the disciples for what is coming. And what Jesus is saying to them, he's saying, it's time for farewell. I am going away. But it's not the end of the story. Things will change. And they will receive power from on high. Because this is the moment. This is the moment when all that Christ has been saying becomes universal. It shatters all the barriers that existed before then. And the truth of the gospel is there to be spread to the ends of the earth. But the disciples will no longer see him physically, but they will see him in a different way, a way that surpasses physical sight. And the question for them was, could they cope without the physical presence of Christ? Just as we ask of ourselves, can we cope without physical presence? Well, that, my dear friends, is what faith is all about. There's some very beautiful words in the Epistle to Apostle Peter. We had part of the Epistle of St. Peter this morning, but elsewhere he writes these lovely words. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance which is imperishable." And then he says, "Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." That is you and me. We haven't seen him, and yet we have hope. One of the lessons the disciples had to learn was that they had to let go of Christ in order to find him again. Those who lose their life will find it. And it's a very hard lesson. Very hard. It's one that confronts us as individuals. It's one that confronts us as a church. This church is dedicated to the transfiguration, of our Lord. I can remember on that occasion when they were up the mountain, this person said, "Good Lord, we're here, let us hold on to this moment." And Jesus said, "No, you must go down off the mountain to the plain where the world is. You cannot hang on to these moments." Our pursuit of faith, our discipleship of Christ, will require of us, no doubt, a death as well. Letting go of all those things that hold us, those fears, anxieties, all the things that would stop us from living our lives to the full. For that is what God promises us in Christ. It took a long time for the disciples to get there, but they got there in the end. And I, for one, am slow to learn. Because the fear of losing something that you treasure and love can actually lead you to destroy the very thing you want to hold on to. Christ calls us to let go. There's a poem by a wonderful poet you may know, C.J. Lewis, who writes a lovely poem about his feelings when he took his boy to school for the first time and left him. And he describes that sense of his son running off with the other boys in the school, his new friends running away to the school and not looking back to his father. And his father describes that sense of loss and pain as he sees his son going. And he writes this. He says, "I have had worse parties, but none that so gnaws at my mind still. Perhaps it is roughly saying what God alone could perfectly show, how selfhood begins with walking away, and love is proved in the letting go." It was St. Teresa of Avila who expressed the insight that Christ has no body on earth now, but yours. No eyes, no hands, no feet, but yours. We are to continue his work. We are the body of Christ in the world. My friends, we have a glorious faith, and we have nothing to fear. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Death death and hell are overthrown, and the gate of life is open to those who believe. And how glorious it is that today we have a baptism. Shavuot is to be baptized, new Christian, baptized into this glorious faith. The crucified, risen, and ascended Christ is always with us. He is in the life of our churches, he is in our own life, changing us from one degree of glory to another, as we discover his presence, not up there in the sky, but here, with us, in our lives, and in one another's lives, every day. Amen.